Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hold on, Al. We're leaving the great Billy King on the line here.
Okay, yeah,
the great Billy, former general manager of the 76ers, coach in the NBA. A one Billy King joins us. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning. I think I was doing that on purpose.
He was.
He's never been that talkative.
Billy, I gotta talk to you about the Sixers. And let's first backtrack to last night, NBA All-Star game. Joel Embiid played 29 minutes. He played 28 against the Clippers in the final game before the All-Star break. Played more minutes in the actual All-Star game. And obviously he and both Ben Simmons played in it. Put up good stat lines, which, whatever, it's an All-Star game. But I hate seeing either of them playing in a meaningless game, and I can understand why anybody would feel that way. But if you're Elton Brand and you're watching last night and you see Joel playing 29 minutes in an All-Star game, you got to be holding your breath every minute he's on the floor, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I want to know how they calculated between them. Is that the fourth quarter where it was – there was no time and just playing to score. I think, you know, and the fact that it wasn't just an All-Star game, that fourth quarter was a playoff atmosphere. And I think every GM sitting there saying, please hope my guy doesn't get hurt trying to win this thing, because, you know, they were going after it. But you're right with Joel. I mean, I would have said, look, just make a curtain call, go out there and start both first and second, and then get out of the game because we need you for these last 27.
Right. This is leading right into a Joel question I have for you. As a former GM, assistant coach, being around players your entire adult life, we need your opinion on this. Each and every All-Star has, you know, their session with the media during All-Star weekend, and they're asked, you know, some good questions, some ridiculous ones. And Joel was asked something in particular, and it's kind of been a centerpiece of today's show, you know, comparing what he said to what Bryce Harper said yesterday. You know, when asked about the criticism he's received this season, you know, and the ups and downs that he's had on the court, this was Joel's response on Saturday.
The whole season, you know, I've been quiet. Before, I was on social media acting crazy, and people say that it was immature, and I stopped, and everybody says that, you know, I don't have passion for the game. I don't care about the game. So it's a lose-lose situation. So I just got to be myself. And if it rubs people the wrong way, so what? I just got to be myself, and I think he's going to help me a lot.
Billy, he's got to be himself. You know, if you don't like him, too bad. If you're his general manager right now, what's your reaction?
You know, at the end of the day, you got 27 games to play. If he goes out and plays and backs it up, people are going to love him. If he doesn't, you know, he's going to get criticized even more, and it's going to go throughout the whole offseason. I just think he's in a frustrated point of the season. Right throughout the whole season, I think he's just been frustrated. And he's reaching and searching for reasons why and outspeaking. I think Bryce is very media savvy and understands what to say and what not to say. I just think Joel is right now is in the NBA, there are guys that are searching for them, you know, for their individual self. And they get to a certain point in their career where it becomes, okay, it's about the team. And as Greg Popovich, he always says, I want those guys that are over themselves and are just about the team. And so he always searching for those guys to, like Rudy Gay right now is playing for them. You know, he went through everything trying to make the All-Star game, trying to be a superstar, trying to do all the individual stuff. And now I just want to win. Mm-hmm. And that to me is where I think Joel, I think Ben, they're still in that mode of trying to figure out their individual selves within the team concept. And once they get to the point where it's about the team, then it becomes, they have a really great chance of doing something special. And it can happen this year. But I would just say, Joel, all right, just play. Just go out and play and let your play be the, you know, be your actions, not your words anymore.
Right. And you know, looking at this season, and maybe even beyond, because, of course, he's under contract, you know, I think we can agree he's the most important player to the franchise. And he will be the reason they either win a title or not win a title. And what seemingly separates that is professional maturity. Billy, Brett Brown has tried to get through to him. Elton Brand's tried to get through to him. We've heard Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley try to get through to him. Is there one last Hail Mary that maybe hasn't been tried other than, well, I guess we've got to sit on our hands and wait?
Well, and like you said, I think it's about playing. And these 27 games, you just got to ride it out now because a lot of guys aren't going to change at this point. And I think he was at a point where he said, I'm going to play and I'm going to do whatever it is. If you criticize me, criticize me. And then the offseason, that's where you got to make decisions. One, I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't trade Ben because you don't get talent like that. And once you give up on the talent like that, you're not going to get value back. I don't care who you bring back.
Right.
And so to me, you've got to figure out how to make it work, whether it's new coaching staff, new pieces to go along with them. But you can't give up on these talents because they're so young and you don't get a chance to get them back. But, you know, it's going to be something that has to be done in the offseason where it's, you know, if Leon Rose is leaving to go to the Knicks, he's going to have a new agent, where you got to get a partnership with the agent, with Joel, and you got to say, how do we go forward to make you as successful as you can be, along with the team being even more successful?
Billy, let me ask you this. If you're coaching him or you're a GM there, what would you say to him? Playing in the city of Philadelphia, what would you say to him, and how do you get through to him, to Ben Simmons, to get him to start taking jump shots, to shoot threes, to do the things that are going to make the team better? And Joel, with his maturity, what would you say to these guys to make them get the most out of themselves?
You know, I would be spending a lot of time individually just talking to them, because, you know, whether it's doing the summer one-on-ones and just trying to get them to understand winning is most important as a team. And if the team does well, you guys are going to be unbelievably bigger than what you really are. If the team gets to the finals, you think you're big now, you'll be so big if we get to the finals and win a championship. You know, a lot of, and I would use examples and just talk to them. But a lot of it, I would let Joel try to get him to talk to me more of what he's feeling, so that as I know what buttons to push during the season. Same thing with Ben. And with the three-point shooting, I'm not so concerned with the three-point shooting as the free-throw shooting, because I think what hurts Ben is late in the fourth quarter, he's afraid to go to the free-throw line, so he's not as aggressive attacking the basket. Mm-hmm. The threes, you know, that, you know, I'm not as concerned. It's about shooting high to the free-throw line, and I think maybe taking a 15-foot jump shot as much, because those are ones where he's there and he doesn't take that one, and that throws off the whole rhythm. Guys don't expect him to shoot the three, so I think their offense keeps needing to click. It's inside like 15 feet and making free throws. But I think, Mitch, and I've done that with guys, just spend a lot of individual time talking to them. And at times, you know, you do got to raise your voice and challenge them so they know we're not to cross the line.
Billy, it took 54 games to see Al Horford not in the starting lineup. And many were calling for him to be, his minutes to be staggered with Embiid from the jump. But, you know, it took 54 games. They finally did it in the final game before the All-Star break. And this is where it gets challenging. If you're the general manager, or, you know, maybe even as high up as the owner, and you signed him to that lucrative contract, you know, do you continue to push for Horford to be in that starting lineup, you know, to justify it so it doesn't have that bad look because you have someone making that kind of money to come off the bench?
You know, as a general manager, you don't want that. But at the end of the day, you've got to give the coach the ability to make the decisions to try to win. Because if you're dictating who he plays minute-wise, then at the end of the season, if you don't think he did a good job, it's hard to replace him because you've been telling him who to play. And I think Brett's at a point now where I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. And if ownership's mad, if Elton's mad, even if I win, they're not going to fire me. If I don't, they're going to fire me anyway. So I'm going to do what I think is best to win. And it may be one of those, where Al Horford said, look, I'll come off the bench if that's going to be best for us. He could have said, look, I'll do whatever it takes to win. If it's me come off the bench, so be it.
Right. And well, he's been very professional about it. I mean, I can't imagine he took it well, but he's been a pro about it. It's first time since he was a rookie that he's coming off the bench. Billy, as you mentioned, we have 20.
You know something, John, one thing, mm-hmm. as a GM, would you say, you're talking about the 15 to 30, that check still comes if you start or don't start.
Right. Right. Well, again, yeah, whether you're a true pro or not, there's still an ego involved when you're making that type of money, and you're one of only a few that are on the court at once. Billy, as you mentioned, there's 27 games remaining. Sixers are the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. How much ground do you think they can realistically make up in order to get as close to that one seed as possible after we hit, 82 games?
Well, I was looking at it this morning. Out of their 27, 13 on the road, out of those 13 games, four are against teams above 500. So that's nine that they should win, if they take care of business, even though they have lost some teams below 500 on the road. And then out of the 14, I think they have five games that are teams above 500, but they play so well at home. So I think they're getting to 53, 54. I don't know if that's enough to get them to fourth. I do think they can get as high as fourth. I don't know if they can get as high as third because some of those teams are playing great. But I think they need to have home court advantage be in the first round just so the storyline isn't, would they lose because they don't have home court advantage. That's you don't want people – that's what we're talking about, because if you're at least fourth seed, that won't be a storyline, and you don't get distracted by that, because I think this team gets distracted by a lot of little things.
Final question I have for you, Billy. You've coached many players. You brought in and traded many as a general manager. When you look at this Sixers team through 55 games, do you think they have what it takes in-house right now to get to the NBA Finals this season?
Well, I do, and you said it earlier, Joel Embiid. I think he is so unique, and you saw it in that game last night when they needed buckets. They were going to Joel Embiid. That's the NBA All-Star game. And that, he made a great move against LeBron. I've been saying it all year. This team will go as far as Joel Embiid goes. And so to me, if it takes him being out there socially doing things for them to win, because I think he has ability to affect games because nobody can guard him inside. I think he can shoot the basketball. I think he's one of the most dominant big men in the game if he decides he wants to dominate the game. So I think they can win the East, because I don't think even Milwaukee has anybody that has an answer to him. Mm-hmm. It comes down to how bad does he want it.
The great Billy King. Billy, you're in on Thursday with Angelo and company. Is that correct?
Yes. And hopefully Al will continue to talk like he was today.
Well, Angelo's not here. I get allowed to talk.
Oh, okay.
I've never been here without Angelo, and Al is very boisterous this morning.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable for all of us, Billy.
I'm not sure how to react.
Well, you're coming in Thursday. Can you bring me a Shamrock Shake?
They're not
a Shamrock Shake.
They come out Wednesday.
Oh, the McDonald's God. Shamrock
yes.
Shake?
Oh, my God. Billy,
it's my
really,
favorite. Al? It's my McRib. Favorite day of the year.
Would you leave him alone? What's wrong with you, Al?
Billy's a good guy.
He's taking advantage of you being a kind person.
What is that? Shamrock Shake.
It's a mint milkshake. And Al's all, I asked him what he loves in his sports life, and he told me the Shamrock Shake. That was his answer. Typical.
Al, you know, not you a very deep just person. Make it at home.
No.
That would require effort.
The kitchen's just a walkway to the garage.
Exactly.
Billy, thank you so much.
All right, take care.
All right. Our prize topic is today, and I do that because I've fallen in love with Joe Girardi.
Of course you have.
He said all the right things, and it's impossible not to love him right now. Sports personalities who you fell in love, sports figures who you've fallen in love with in your sports life. And someone has brought up Allen Iverson, someone's brought up Jay Wright. Al, you said two things, neither were a personality or anything.
Yes.
You gave two inanimate objects. One was a food, a Shamrock Shake.
I like Marty Stewart.
What?
The singer.
The mandolin guy with the hair.
He's great. I've met him once.
He's got unbelievable
hair. That was Marty Stewart.
He's a country singer.
What are you wrong with you? What?
All three of us knew who he was except
Marty
for
Stewart.
Well, let me write this down. John ain't as old as us.
Marty Stewart. Well, that's the first person you've given me Shamrock Shake. He said GPS. He loves GPS. I'm waiting for him to, Oh, go ahead. Who do you got?
Dick Butkus.
You like Dick Butkus?
Oh, no, I didn't like him. I loved him. Highlights of that guy playing the game of football, I could watch all day long.
Yeah. Huh. Very interesting. Well, I mean,
is Mitch
eligible for one of our prizes today?
No.
No.
Oh, I'm not eligible for salary.
He didn't even get any.
All right, well, we have four wonderful prizes we're giving away. We have a pair of tickets to Philly's Diamondbacks on June the 28th. We have a pair of tickets to Temple Men's Basketball against UConn this Thursday night. We have a pair of tickets to Nickelback with Stone Temple Pilots July 19th at BB&T. And a four-pack of tickets to the Philadelphia Fishing Show in addition to your sports conversation, someone in your sports life who you fell in love with throughout the course of your life.
And when you think of black bears, right, big bears, where do you think of that they would be?
Well, because of where we are geographically, I think of the Poconos.
Do you know that over the weekend, the largest black bear ever killed by a bull was in Jersey, 700 pounds.
In Jersey?
In Jersey.
Now, you remember the one that was in Medford?
Yes, in our neighborhood.
It was about 500 pounds.
700-pound black bear.
700-pound black bear is massive.
Wow. In Jersey.
Who was it? Someone from the wildlife? Who killed it? Who killed the bear?
Guy with a bow.
That was just a hunter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't. 700. Holy Jesus.
When I think of Morris.
Is that legal to kill a bear?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it is? What do you do with it?
You
skin it and put it on your floor in your den.
Well, that was a very matter of fact statement there. Can you eat them? Can you eat the meat or? Does anybody eat bear?
I'm sure people have eaten.
Have we never had a bear claw?
Yeah. Good Lord, they're glazed. They're beautiful.
This is what we come to Al for. Terry and Frank are going to be up next, and then you. Now's the time to jump on board. Our time is 7:17.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.